Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, too often our prayers are filled with impatience over what we want instead of gratitude for what we already have. Help us to remind ourselves not to take you for granted this Thanksgiving. What you have truly have given us. It's so easy to look at what we don't have instead of looking at what you have given us. We look at unanswered prayers instead of trusting what you have installed for us. Remind us today in the coming year what is truly important. Thank you for everyone who is here today. Help them to get a blessing from today's message. Most of all, remind us today as we are about to celebrate Thanksgiving, but also every day to give thanks for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifices he made for us to give us eternal life with you in heaven. Amen. As I just prayed there of how terrible not to be grateful, isn't it? We go through the world and we just see people that are so ungrateful now, like 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I'm definitely guilty of this. You know, I take things for granted. It's easy to, but let's try to remind ourselves not to, okay, guys? We want to be an example in front of everyone, don't we? Because we know those people. I was telling the Sunday school this morning that I was getting some gas this morning, and it's funny. I'm going to preach today on people not being thankful, but a lady came up to me and asked me, you know, if I would buy her some food. I'm like, sure. You know, because usually some people ask me for money or something like that, and you're like, man, I don't. Sometimes you don't want to give money away because, man, are they going to buy it on drugs or alcohol or something? I was like, yeah, sure. And I bought her some food, and she got it and walked away and never said thank you for it. And I was like, wow. You know, it's so uneasy to be it's so easy nowadays to be unthankful, isn't it? To take things for granted. We need to really keep an eye on this. We all know the story of the pilgrims coming to America, celebrating the first Thanksgiving, and giving thanks to God for the harvest that they had produced, and all the hardship that they went through. Here's a little history. We have an exact replica of the Mayflower. England gave it to us in after World War II as appreciation, as a gift of what we did for them in World War II. The Mayfair is 90 feet long, I believe. Mayflower. What's that?
Mayflower.
Or the Mayflower. Sorry, what did I say? Mayfair. Oh, Mayfair. Mayflower. Sorry. It's 90 feet long, so wasn't the longest ship out there, was it? It wasn't the biggest. I think they traveled for, 60 days across the sea? Okay, pilgrims came here to worship God according to the Christian faith as they understood it. They were part of the Protestant Reformation that was happening, you know, in the 1500s to the 1800s. Remember, the Protestant Reformation is where people wanted to believe the Bible. They wanted people to read it for themselves, didn't they? Remember, we're in the Dark Ages in the 1500s. Protestant Reformation happens because people wanted to say, hey, you know what? I can make up my own mind. Long as I can, read the Bible. And do you ever wonder why North America is the way it is and South America is the way it is? We just talked, you know, Dave mentioned South America, but why is everyone always trying to come up there? Is it because we have better resources than them? No. They've got oil and all those things. Must be because we have, because we're white privileged. No, not that. God loves everyone. God died for everyone. Must be because they have better farmland. No. Biggest reason why, think about it. Who migrated to North America? Protestant reformers did. Who migrated, who started going down to South America? The same old Catholicism. Same old, I want to keep everybody under control. I want to own everybody. I want to keep them illiterate so I can tell you what the Bible says. No, we want everyone here to make up their own minds. It's amazing that people just cannot see that, though. The reason today our country is so great is because of what God did for us. Okay? That's why our country is great. It's not because of what one man did or some other man. It's because of what God did for us. God saw a nation that said, hey, you know what? Our founding fathers came from the Protestant Reformation and wanted everybody to go to school, read the Bible. Go to school and follow God's laws, wasn't it? That's what the biggest importance of it was. Everyone wants to know how to fix problems in the United States. It's simple. Go back to reading the Bible as a family. Go back to reading the Bible in schools. Reading the Bible in the courts. Wouldn't you love a judge to read the Bible before he comes out and goes, man, I just read some passages and I want to make the right decision.
Yeah.
Read the Bible in the Senate and the House before they make decisions. Wouldn't it be nice if they all got together, read the Bible? Our founding fathers did that. Read the Bible in the White House. And I guarantee things will start getting better. What do you think they start getting better? What? Romans 10:17. When faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look, I know we are living in troubled times, so today I want to talk about giving thanks, just not on Thanksgiving, but in all times. Can you be thankful in times of trouble? It's easy to be thankful in times of, you know, when things are going good, but can we be thankful in times of trouble? I want to talk about two men from the Bible named Stephen and Paul. Both of these men had different journeys, but both were thankful to God in times of trouble. It's Thanksgiving. Think about what you can be grateful for. I have a lot to be grateful for. One example. Grateful that my parents were Bible believing and raised me to believe 100% in the Bible. They taught me that from day one. Man, I took that for granted when I was young. Because my father didn't have a father like I had. He had a man that drank and gambled and but my father didn't make an excuse. I never heard my father use cuss words or drink or do anything like that in front of, you know, how people grow up with excuses. Oh, I came from poverty. My father grew up in the slums of England. His father was a coal miner that barely made any money. And when he did make money, guess what? On payday, he never showed up. He would go to the pub and go to the racehorses and come home with nothing. My father got a disease when he was a little kid and lived with it all his life. He lived till he was 85 years old. But he had a skin disease because he was so malnourished that he had that for the rest of his life. And one guy in Pennsylvania said, sir, a doctor, he goes, sir, I can't fix what you have, but he goes, I can't cure what you have, but I can make it less miserable for you. And he gave him some medicine that he took for the rest of his life. And because it used to be just really, really painful. So I'm really grateful for parents that just taught me the Bible. And they always taught me to believe the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And that's very important. I have up on the screen, and I read it earlier, Psalms 100. Let's just read it one more time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth in all generations. Don't matter. All generations. That's why reading the Bible is so important, because you can go through life no matter what. I heard some guy tell, I'd never read the Bible. It's too outdated. Huh. He doesn't read the Bible we read, does he, guys? You want to learn things, anything in life, the Bible will teach you everything. You're going through financial problems, the Bible will teach you that. You're going through marital problems, the Bible will teach you that. You're going through grief, the Bible will teach you that. It's the comforter, isn't it? Because it's God's word, isn't it? Okay, so what's the meaning of Psalm 100? To lay heavy emphasis on praising God. As humans, we cannot undermine the power of praises. Okay? Everything about the relationship of King David and God make us know that God truly loves being praised, doesn't it? Okay? That's important. It's hard to have enemies when you're praising your situations, isn't it? Okay, every day we hear and see news of war, destruction, pending conflicts, raging all over the earth. We just had the midterm elections. And we see our country changing before us. We see our experience. Or we see or experience death, violence, neighbor turning against neighbor. We have diseases to deal with. We have COVID to deal with, don't we? Guys, praise God, despite the newspapers or TV news may indicate. I know it's hard to look at what's happening today and be thankful, but be thankful that God predicted this was all going to happen. That's where you get thankful, isn't it? God predicted this. It has to play out the way God said it would. Let me repeat that. It has to play out the way God said it would. It has to. There's nothing that God has written down that will not happen. It's 100% going to happen. You guarantee that. You want to know, you want to predict the future? What did I say earlier? Read the Bible. You're going to hear that as a common theme to me, because that's what we need. We need to get back to reading the Bible, guys. So you're saying we should just sit back with our hands clutched in a fist and just take it? Of course not. Get out and vote. Get out and be a witness. Like I said, read your Bible for encouragement. But just as important, give praises to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is in control. Okay? He knows what's going on here. Remember, God still sits on the throne of heaven, ruling all things. All things that are happening today is happening because of His prediction. Do not mistake what I just said there by saying this is because of God. This is because of sin. Man's sin has created all these problems. God always takes the blame and the burden of man's sins, doesn't He? He always gets the blame for it, but we never praise Him during the good times. People don't. You always hear it on, well, why does God allow this to happen? It's not. God doesn't put one person in hell. You put yourself in there by what? Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one person. I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, God, because he's a homosexual, he's going to hell. No, he's not. He's living in sin. We're all sinners. But he's rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter what he's doing. It's because of his own decision to reject God's word. And we always hear it on the news where Jesus gets blamed. Tired of it. I'm tired of preachers going out there and saying, oh, this man's different. He's going to hell because he's homosexual. No, pray for that man. A man's living in sin. He's caught up in it. There's not one phrase that says that because you are homosexual or you are something else that you're going to go to hell. Because you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why you go to hell. You're saying, Steve, it's easy for you to tell us to be thankful when you don't have a clue what I've been through or are going through. You're right. I don't. Don't know what everyone's through. And I know there are a lot of people out there that have gone through a lot worse things than I have. You know, you always look at your life and say, man, I'm going through some hard time. There's somebody out there that always has it worse than you, I guarantee you. There's always somebody's story out there that has it worse than you, guarantee. But you know who knows what you're going through? Jesus does, doesn't he? He knows what you're going through. You remember that. Bible is full of encouragement to be thankful. The word thank and variations of the same word are used at least 139 times in the Bible. Most often with the thanks being directed at God. Were all these people just going through a good time? No. Most of the stories in the Bible were because they were going through hardships, weren't they? Even dying. Approximately 250 times in the Bible we read commands and statements regarding praising the Lord. So as I just said earlier, I was going to talk about Stephen and Paul from the Bible. A big reason for doing so is these men went through everything you can think of, yet were so grateful in the times of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. I also mentioned my parents being Bible believing that I'm so grateful for this. Actually, my parents' name is Stephen. My first name, Paul, is my middle name. No pressure to live up to that, is there? I think maybe I'm not so grateful. My parents picked two of probably the greatest men in the Bible. But King Acts 6, 8 through 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, all of them from Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. What's going on there? Evidently, synagogues in Jerusalem made up of different ethnic groups, okay? The groups, like the Libertines, were slaves who had been freed along with their descendants. Stephen had an active ministry among these people, so he knew these guys. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. That's why it's so important to read your Bible, isn't it? So you can talk to people and feel confident in yourself and explain to people. Then they Severn Woods said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.' And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been of an angel." You think you could stand in front of everyone and they're accusing you of something you didn't do? They're not only going to jail you, but they're basically going to put you to death. Would you have a face of an angel? Like in Acts 6:10, Stephen is under control when he was speaking, wasn't he? There's a big thing here. When you are giving thanks and praising to the Lord, it helps with controlling your emotions. It's easy to get caught up in your emotions. Man, I'm guilty of that. But when you're praising the Lord, you control it better, don't you? Acts, verses 11 and 13. Stephen is being falsely charged with blasphemy with three charges: the law, the temple, and all of these, with blasphemy, and the temple, and all of these are just made up. They just made them up so they can just, kill them off because they don't like it. Yet through all of this, Stephen, his face looked like a face of an angel. I wonder if it had an effect on who? Saul of Tarsus. Maybe not at that moment, but maybe later on in his life. Maybe it had effect on those guys. Man, why did he have, why is he in so much control? You men who are, Acts 7:51 through 60. "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the Righteous One. And you have now become betrayers and murderers of Him. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it." And when they heard this, they were infuriated. And they began gnashing their teeth at him. It's amazing how angry someone gets when you start talking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? How quickly they'll turn on you, boy. "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they shouted with loud voices and covered their ears and rushed at him with one mind. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." Now that's a man that is totally thankful to God, is he not? I mean, he's not, think about verse 60 here. Let me read it again. "Then he fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." This man is demonstrating that he's speaking the truth through what? Love. Not malice. Not telling God, avenge me, get back at these people. No. He wanted them to be saved just as much as he was, wasn't he? That's the beauty of it, man. We want everyone to be saved. I don't want anyone to go to hell. Not about y'all. I don't want a single person. Remember, right before Stephen's death, who came along in verse 58? It was Saul of Tarsus, wasn't it? who's a, at this time, he was a young radical against Jesus' followers. He was, you know, he did all these things. He persecuted Christians. He persecuted these guys anytime he had a chance. Paul even gets permission to go after fleeing Jews to chase them. All these Jews were leaving Jerusalem, getting out of there. And you say, man, you know, because they were being so persecuted, even Paul went even as far as to Damascus, 200 miles away. But look what God turned into that. Think about all those Jews that are fleeing there. What are they doing here? They're getting out of there, but guess what they're doing? They're spreading the word of Christ. So God makes something cynical into what man's doing, and he turns it into, hey, something good. These guys take off and start spreading the word of Jesus Christ around. So look at that situation. That's something to be really grateful for, isn't it? On top of that, this is where Saul meets Jesus. He's out there, and he's asked permission to leave Jerusalem. He goes out there, and what does he do? He meets Jesus, and he turns his life around. After years of growth, he will start to use the Greek version of his name, Paul, and be a missionary to the Gentiles. That's Acts 9. See what I'm saying about how God uses bad things for good? Paul completely understands about the forgiveness of sin of his past, and God will use men and women like Paul no matter what they have done. You think about what Paul's done. You say, man, you know. But sometimes those are the best witnesses, aren't they? Because they've been through so much that they can sit there and go, man, this is what Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven me for all I've done. You know, it just shows the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. He forgives us for what we have done. So how can we not be thankful for no matter our circumstances? So important. Remember, none of us deserve to go to heaven. We can't work our way into it. We can't buy our way into it. It's not for rich people. Heaven isn't. All we have to do is accept the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ. Because by dying on the cross, he washed away our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says that 150 times. In one circumstance or the other. 150 times in the book. Yet people out there will still take one verse from the Bible and twist it into something that they want. Why do they do that? Because they want to control people, don't they? That's why reading the Bible for yourself is so important. Remember, I have children that I have raised them to believe in the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just told you about my parents. Believe in the Bible. Okay? But you have to make that personal decision. It's not a parent that's a Bible-believing parent wants their kids to be saved. That's the ultimate gift for them, isn't it? But they can't force them to be saved, can they? They have to make that personal decision. That's the beauty of heaven. Everyone in heaven has made their own decision. I heard a preacher say one time, everyone lives forever. What do you mean? You either live in heaven or you live in hell, don't you? Paul is just another of those examples of a man that has been through just about anything you can think of. Yet he also wrote this, Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying here? Just what it says. Paul's saying give thanks in every scenario you are in. I mean, this is coming from Paul. This man knows what suffering is. He was jailed at least 7 times. He was shipwrecked 3 times. That's 2 Corinthians 11:25. 5 times he was flogged, 39 times by the Jews for preaching the gospel. You say, well, 2 Corinthians 11:24. Why was he flogged 39 times? Jewish law didn't allow you to flog a man for more than 40 times. So everyone would flog, most people that were carrying out that sentence would flog you 39 just to be on the safe side, not to go over the breaking the law. So it's amazing, isn't it? Paul was officially flogged 195 times for preaching the Bible. Yet he still believed the new God was on his side. Yet he says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is bigger than what you and I are facing. Paul's words here are found in human strength, isn't it? But rooted in the weakness of Paul makes clear throughout Romans that it's in our weakness that God's strength is revealed. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 2 Corinthians 11:25. I don't know about you, but when I read this, it's hard to believe Paul did not die here. But God still had work for Paul to do, didn't he? And hunger and thirst, 2 Corinthians 11:27. Paul went without food and water, but still kept his faith in Christ. Cold and nakedness, 2 Corinthians 11:27. Traveling to and through many half-civilized countries, Paul was often insufficiently clothed. In his labors and travels, his clothing became old and badly worn. There were times when he was going to cities where he didn't know a single person. It's not like he could just call somebody up and say, hey man, you know, can I borrow some money? Or, you know, maybe you've got some food or some clothes. He was all by himself. Yet, what did he do? Still gave thanks in all things, didn't he? Like 2 Timothy 4:13, what did he say? He was in prison. And he was asking for someone to bring a coat before winter, you know, because they didn't supply you like our prisons supply you with everything here now. That's not what those prisons were back in those days. They were a lot cold and miserable and just nasty, wasn't it? In perils of my own countrymen, 2 Corinthians 11:26. This would be the Jews in most cases. The Jews were the first to stir up opposition to Paul. It's hard when your own countrymen go against you, isn't it? I see that. We're seeing that now. You know, people aren't as friendly now, but they don't want to. If you disagree with them, boy, they just go off their rocker, it seems like now. Especially, like I said earlier, if you bring up Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. Stoned and left for dead. Acts 14:19. They actually stopped stoning him thinking he had died, I believe. Luke does not clearly indicate if Paul died here. And I know people think of 2 Corinthians 12. 1 through 5, it correlates with him dying, where it says he was caught up in the third heaven. But 2 Corinthians 12 occurred in around about 41 AD, and I believe his actual stoning was in around 48 AD. So this event does not match with 2 Corinthians. He was probably knocked unconscious, and so he said, his accusers just assumed he was dead or, you know, and they just dragged him off and he woke back up and went out and started preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ the next day in another town. It's incredible, isn't it? He experienced the loss of his close friend and co-worker, Barnabas. Acts 15:39. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. Here yet, but they're both were described as full of the Holy Spirit. So these are, both of these are Christian men. You say, man, these are brothers in Christ and they have a disagreement. Look, there's a lot of people have a disagreement with fellow brothers and sisters of Christ. And take that situation and stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that, okay? There's nothing wrong with having a disagreement, okay? There's plenty of men that have disagreement with people, okay? But don't use that. Don't let the devil come in and take that away from your family. There's tons of people out there that go, oh, well, it's all those people. No, you just got in a disagreement with one person. And we know, what is it? 2 Timothy 4:12, I believe. It's when Paul is talking about. We know they rectified their agreement anyway because he was talking about that. So people have disagreements. Don't use that as an excuse, okay? There's nothing wrong with having a disagreement if you feel like something's wrong. Don't use that to walk away from the church of Christ. There's nothing wrong with walking away from a church that you don't, the preachers are not preaching the right thing or something like that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about completely walking away from following Christ. Don't make that as an excuse. His life was threatening, in Thessalonica, Acts 17:5-7, he lived going to different places knowing how dangerous it was, especially about the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, he had an advantage. Remember, he was, he could travel like this because why? He was a Roman citizen. And that made a huge difference going into other towns, not only being a Jew and a Roman, but being that he could get into places where a lot of people couldn't get into. To preach God's to preach God's word. It is believed that Paul's conversion occurred in 36 AD and his death in Rome around 67 to 68 AD. So that's basically 32 years of his him preaching the Bible and fighting for Christ, wasn't it? Giving thanks, 32 years of giving thanks and praising the Lord. Through it all, Paul's faith continued to excel. 2 Corinthians, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, for I am already being poured out as drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also who have loved his appearing. Now that's something to be grateful for this Thanksgiving, isn't it? Look, Stephen and Paul went through. Look what Stephen and Paul went through, but they still had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? Guys, this Thanksgiving, be thankful to what God has given you. No matter how hard of a time you're going through, look to Jesus Christ for the answers. Turn to the Bible, read about Stephen. Okay? Turn to the Bible, read about Paul. Knowing that even through bad times, they could still be thankful of what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, has sacrificed, not just for them, but for all who believe. Don't be like these. Don't be like these people Paul's talking about here. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not, as neither were unthankful. but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Look, this wrath comes because God has made himself plain enough to mankind. You listen to this. Anything, you don't want to listen to anything else, but listen to this. Wrath comes because God has made himself plain enough to mankind that nobody has an excuse for ignoring him. People may choose to reject him, but no one can pretend that we did not have enough evidence to accept his word. Therefore, all men are accountable to him. All. Not certain race. Not because you're richer than your neighbor. All men. Okay, that's everybody. Promise you that no matter what you are doing or going through or will go through, the Bible has the answers. The Bible has the encouragement for looking for. The Bible has the peace you are searching for. But more importantly, the Bible shows you the way to eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You ask, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is. Why? Because Jesus did all the work for us, didn't he? That's why it's that easy. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for men like Stephen and Paul, men that went through trials but maintained their love for you. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving and live our lives beyond, may we always look to you in all situations so we can say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. I'm so grateful that I have accepted the gift of salvation. I know I don't deserve eternal life, but I get to go to heaven one day because of your sacrifice. Help others to hear your words, because we know faith comes by hearing. We just want to remember the people of our congregation that wanted to be here today that couldn't be. We want to remember our missionaries that we support, but all missionaries. We want to remember them. Especially want to remember the men and women of the military that are serving in the military that can't be home for Thanksgiving. We are grateful for them and just give them a special blessing this Thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you again for everything you have done and everything you will do. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, thanks for coming, everyone, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving and enjoy yourselves, okay? And be thankful, okay? That's important.